While you're standing this morning, I want to read my... I feel like the Holy Ghost is here this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel like something's ready to break out right now. Judges chapter 15 and 14. You that are remaining would like to stand with me as I read the word of the Lord. I want to take this one excerpt out of the book of Judges concerning Samson. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of this ass have I slain 1,000 men. I want to teach this morning with this title, Makeshift Miracles. Makeshift Miracles. Let's pray. God, I come before you this morning. Your word is always enlightening. If we don't get something new out of it, it's because we didn't open our eyes. Because your word is fresh every time you read it. It's fresh manna that comes down from above. Not as the children of Israel did eat and are dead, but Lord, it's a living word of God that we can break every day and eat and find something new to talk about and to live by. Encourage us today as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. We're glad to see our visitors here. We'll acknowledge you later, but we're so glad that you're with us this morning. A makeshift is this expedient situation sometimes that you may find yourself in that normally requires you to substitute and to grab things that normally wouldn't grab, but you're in a hurry for the purposes of the project to go forward and to move forward. You just quickly find something else to take the place of what you had intended on using or what failed, and now you need to move forward with this thing. Makeshift is a field guide to hidden creativity. That's worth writing down right there. Makeshift is the field guide to hidden creativity. You just have to learn how to make do with what you have. What can I do with this? What can I do with that? What can I, this broke, what can I replace it with? And you start looking around because you can't let the thing fail. You've got to find some way to keep it going. There are people many times that are depending on you to have that makeshift mentality that I got to find a way. You left me, but I'll find a way to make it work. The car broke, but I'm going to get there somehow. Makeshift is that ability to use something that's less than perfect or ideal despite the lack of its perfectness. You still intend on getting the job done. You create ways to make it work. Oh, it wasn't intended for that, but it'll work in this situation. Makeshift is when you find where there's a will, there is a way. One way or another, I am going to get this done. And while God is perfect, I will tell you, we live in a makeshift world, and you should be makeshift Christians. If you're waiting for a perfect church, you might as well leave now. Put up your little finger and walk out and say, excuse me. You might as well, because there is no perfect church, there's no perfect mate, there's no perfect job, there's no perfect person. There's nothing perfect but that which comes from above. He said, that which comes from above is good, is perfect. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Every gift that men can give you will fail. I don't care how good it feels at the moment or it looks, it will fail. And you better learn to be a makeshift Christian. You have to have a makeshift attitude. Hallelujah. Find a way to make it work. God made Adam and Eve. He made them in his likeness, so we know they were perfect, right? If you're in the image of God, you're perfect. The Bible, even James said, if any man can bridle his tongue, the same as a perfect man. I had never seen a perfect man because I had never seen anybody could bridle their tongue. Nobody. He said, horses they tame and turn ships and all this kind of stuff, but the tongue can no man tame. You can go to the circus, they got tame lions and elephants and things like that. They don't have any tongues at the circus because they can't tame them. Adam and Eve were perfect because they were made in the sight of God, but they had their own will and they had their own way and they had their own desires. And when they sinned in the garden, you see, before all they had to do, there was no makeshift stuff. There's nothing to makeshift. You hungry? Go eat of the tree of life. Keep going. No makeshift stuff. But he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. And he said, now, thorns and thistles, and you better have a hoe, and you better learn how to water, and you better learn how to survive out in this world, because it's a makeshift world. And in childbearing, you're going to have sorrows, and your kids will make you sorry to the grave. Makeshift world. Learn how to survive. But in the garden, they didn't have to do that. Unfortunately, I woke up, and I wasn't in the garden. I found out it's a real world out there. Now, there's a time if kids go through make-believe, right? They don't understand. Little Ariel, like, she doesn't understand what you got to go through. No. And so Adam and Eve had two sons. She bare two sons, Cain and Abel. But the Bible says that Cain slew his brother. Cain, it's interesting that Cain refused to slay a lamb to offer to God. But he slew his brother to satisfy his own anger rather than satisfying God. And so Cain slew his brother Abel, and now the blood of his brother went into the ground and cries out for vengeance. So right there, could have stopped. Right there. Well, that's the end. Christ will never come. He had promised that through Eve that a Savior would come. But now that Cain slew Abel, I'm not coming through Cain. So what did God do? Makeshift. It is a makeshift world. And Adam knew his wife again, and she conceived again, and she brought forth a son. Watch it. Genesis chapter 4 and 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. It was a makeshift bloodline. I'm going to find a way for the Christ to come. Maya slew Abel. His blood went into the ground and cries to me to this today. But I'm going to have me a son. I'm not coming through Cain. One way or another, I'm not coming through Cain. And she had another son. And God used the blood of Seth as a substitute for the blood of Abel, that he might bring forth his own son, made of a woman and made under the law. So many makeshift situations in the Bible where even the mother of Moses, when she could no longer hide her child, what am I going to do? He was like 3 months old. He's crying and they're searching and they're looking. They're trying to kill all the male children. But the Bible says this was a proper child. This was someone God could use. So what did she do? The Bible says she found some bulrushes. And she began to weave. She found what she could do and to weave the bulrushes and made a basket. And she found some old slime, the Bible says, and daubed it within and daubed it without. Said, I'm going to find a way to preserve my child. While the others may be dead, that's fine. God bless them. But my child, I'm going to find a way to make it this thing work. And she made a little basket. She didn't have time to call for a lifeboat and put in an order for some Skeeter bass boat. She didn't have time. I got to do something quick. And so she looked around and look, I'll take these bulrushes right here. That's not the best boat in the world, but it'll work. And she got some slime and daubed it then with that and put him in there and let him float down the river with the alligators. And you know the rest of the story. And I'm here to tell you, if you want your babies to survive in this world, you better improvise. Do you know what improvising is? Brother Woodard, I imagine you've improvised a few things. And, you know, that's not what this is made for, but it'll work. You know? I like to hunt, and a lot of times I go duck hunting, and I got a blind, you know, and I've made a blind, and I've got decoys, and I've got the netting, I got everything. They ain't coming to me, though. They're lighting over there. Happens to me every time. So I build a blind, and I go over there. And I have to go over there where they keep lighting. They're just pouring in. And I get over there. I don't have a blind there. So I look around. I makeshift blind. I'm going to find a little of this and a little of that to hide myself so I can kill a few ducks. makeshift. Got ready to go one time and go and got them waders, you know, it's deep. And I put my, and snap, found me a rope. A rope wasn't made to do that, but that it'll work. I've used a rope before for a car, for a belt. Found me a rope to get that thing to turn so I could get home. Makeshift. Find a way. The rope wasn't made to be a belt. But Lord, I got to get home. You've got to find a way to make it work. Improvise. Say improvise. Improvise. Hallelujah. Sometimes you don't have time to practice things and rehearse things. You just got to improvise. Sometimes preachers just improvise. Samson saw the Philistines that were upon him, and he didn't have time to get a strategy together and get a plan together and get an arsenal of weapons. They said, the Philistines are where? Upon thee. Yeah, they're upon thee. They're not coming, they're upon thee. And the Bible says what they had tied him with was like it had been burnt and it fell off. Got him a jawbone of a new head. I dare you to come at me. Back off. Well, they must not believe he could do anything because they kept coming. What are you going to do with that? I'll show you I'm going to do that. Come at me. I'll show you. I'm telling you, he was improvised. And they'd look at that like, how's he doing that? How's he doing that? I mean, they got weapons and spears. He'd probably catch them spears. Come at me. And the Bible says he killed 1,000 men by improvising. If he had had a sword and a spear and a shield, he'd have died. But when God looses you, honey, start improvising. Start finding a way. God didn't loose you to die. He loosed you so you could live. And after he had killed 1,000 Philistines, he threw that jawbone down. Lord have mercy. I've killed 1,000 men, and now, Lord, I die of thirst. And the Lord said, I'm not through with your improvising. He picked that thing back up, and the Lord had hollowed out inside of that jawbone a well of water. It was a makeshift well, a makeshift fountain, if you will. It wasn't designed to be a fountain. It wasn't designed to be a life support system. And he turned that dude up, and the Bible said he drank till the spirit of Samson was revived. You better learn how to improvise if you're going to live for God. These two folks right here, you didn't get where you're at not learning how to improvise. That's right. You learn how. If you're going to keep living for God, people are going to let you down. Not everybody you count on, you can count on. You better learn how to improvise if you're going to live for God. Miracles don't happen to people that are so prepared, so ready, and everything is just right. Never get a miracle. Miracles happen to the needy. Miracles happen to the people that things broke on them. Somebody fell on them. Miracles happen to people that have a desire to go on, a desire to move forward, but don't see the way of how to do it. Makeshift miracles are in the hands of those who know how to deal with adversity and still get the job done. Hallelujah. Miracles are in the hands of people that are ready to move forward at no matter what the cost may be. Joshua improvised and took down the walls of Jericho. David improvised with a slingshot and took down a giant. Gideon improvised with a pitcher, a trumpet, and a lamp, and he won the war against the Midianites. Makeshift miracles are in the hands, listen to me, of those who can face adversity and still get the job done. Four men brought their little sick buddy, sick of the palsy, to Jesus. And when they got to the door, it was closed up, clogged up with people, throngs of people. Jesus was in a house this day, not the synagogue or not out in the open air or in the wilderness, in a house that day. And when they wanted to, that their buddy could get healed, they looked and there was no way. Let's improvise. We're going to get you there, buddy. Just hold on. I'll find me a saw around here somewhere. I've got to grab that saw over there. Go to his shed and borrow his saw. Get his weed eater while you're at it. And the Bible says that man born of four, they lifted him on the house. We're going to find a way. And here's Jesus teaching, and the stuff is falling, no doubt, because the Bible says they tore the tiling off. Improvise. We're going to get you there one way or another, buddy. I guarantee you. I don't know what's going to happen when we get you there, but we're going to get you there. I love people that find a way to make it work. They open up the root and let the man down, and Jesus stopped everything and said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And by the way, you're healed on top of that. That's what improvising will get you. They could have stopped and said, oh, well, we'll come back when he's not so busy. He'd have never got healed. But when you're willing to make a makeshift, the makeshift miracles belong to those who face adversity and are still willing to get the job done. Am I helping anybody this morning? You've got to be relentless. Relentless. No matter what comes, no matter what breaks, rips, or tears. Hallelujah. You got to keep on going. Find a way to get it done. I will tell you this morning, you will never, ever improvise anything as long as you keep sitting down and just saying, how long, O Lord? How long is my enemies going to triumph against me? How long, O Lord, will I mourn? How long, Lord, will I be depressed? How long, O Lord, will I be lonely? As long as you keep asking the Lord how long, it tells me you're not doing anything. You're waiting on him to do something. But improvising is you doing something. It's up to you to get it done. And too many times we sit down and do nothing, and you're not improvising, you're not looking for something else to take its place, you're just waiting and waiting. I understand there's a time to wait, but you will never get anything done. The makeshift miracle belongs in the hands of those who can face adversity and still get the job done. Find a way. We have to find a way to lift something up to God. Find a way. The Bible talks about lifting up your voice. The blind man, right? Shh, shh, you're going to disturb the master. He lifted up his voice even louder. Might be my last chance. Jesus, thou son of David. He talks about, now listen to the many things. I went through and so you didn't have to do this homework. I've already done it for you. He talked about lifting up your voice, lifting up your eyes to the hills, from which comes the hill. Lifting up your hands to the Lord. Lifting up your head to the Lord. Lifting your face up to the Lord. Lifting up your soul unto the Lord. Lifting up your heart unto the Lord. I'm here to tell you, you better find something to lift up to the Lord. People that don't lift up the Lord, you see, when you lift him up, you're pushing you down. And the Bible says that if you, to him that is humble, James said it this way, those that have a humble heart, in due time the Lord will lift them up. If you learn to lift something up to God, then eventually God will lift you up. Oh, you're not understanding this. That's what praise and worship is about. It's about you lifting God up so that he will eventually lift you up. David said, did he not? Thou art the lifter up of my head. Hallelujah. Find a way to lift something up to God, but don't lift yourself up. You miss that. Don't see, pride cometh before a fall. If you lift yourself up, the fall is next. But if you lift up your hands, your eyes, your heart, your soul, your mind, your thoughts to God, he lifts you up. Oh, this is good stuff this morning. David said, he delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. See, every time my enemies come against me, he lifts me up higher. You didn't see my enemies come up here, he lifts me up higher. He said, he lifted me up. When my enemies rose up against me, he lifted me up higher. So that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift you up. Hallelujah. That's good to know. Amen. I'm tired of burdens. I don't know about you. See, burdens are things that are on top of you. Victory is when you get on top of it. Yeah. I think sometimes when I talk to people why they don't live for God, why they keep chasing the wrong thing, I have learned, I'm going to share with you a few things I've learned in 59 years. The reason people will never accomplish anything in life or living for God, some people, is because they keep falling back on, I was neglected. I was neglected. When I was growing up, I was neglected. I'd hate to see the hands of those, get that jawbone out there. You got him, brother? Come after the preacher like that, I tell you. Rebuke that thing. If I had to say, how many of y'all feel like you was neglected? You could be in the household of 10, and I was the neglected one. They've treated all my brothers and sisters better than me. I was the one they neglected. They left me out of everything. Well, let me tell you something about being neglected. That ought to make you seek God. People that are neglected ought to be the ones that seek God. But neglected people end up with a mental dysplasia so that they run away from the people who love them and they invest all of their energy chasing people who don't. Did you catch that? They end up with a mental dysplasia where the people that love them, they don't accept. The people that didn't love them, and they keep chasing them, trying to be accepted by them. And I feel like so many times neglected people, they just lament and they need to repent. See, lamenting doesn't change anything. Lamenting just said, oh, poor pitiful me. I was the one that they was neglected. I was the one that was they left out of all the parties. That's just lamenting. That doesn't change anything. Lament all you want. But repenting is saying, I had enough of this. Praise God, I'm going to find a way to rise above it. Thank the Lord. Repenting is a turning around. Lamenting is a stewing in it. Oh, this is good stuff. I might get this CD myself. Quit lamenting and start repenting. You know, being overlooked by men should help you to seek God. When Samuel came to the household of Jesse, he went through all of Jesse's sons. I think he had 8 sons. He went through 7 of them. And he's like, the anointing wouldn't flow. Do it again. And he run them through 2 times, the Bible says, and the anointing wouldn't flow. And he said, now I know the Lord sent me here. Not a one of them jokers, you hear me? Not a one of them jokers, them brothers said, Daddy, Have you forgot about David out there in the field? Not a one of them jokers. The problem is, you see, if it ain't me, exactly right, I don't want it to be him. If it ain't going to be me. Not a one of them. Until finally the man of God says, sir, do you have any more? Yeah. The neglected one. The left out one. The one that was out in the field that was lonely. No, he wasn't lonely. He was singing praises unto his God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He was writing songs to God before he really knew him like he would know him. Being neglected is what brought him in the presence of God. And so they found David and anointed him to be king. Don't wait for somebody else to lift you up. Lift God up and God will lift you up. The Bible says that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great people. Whew, I got to hurry because I got to close. David was a makeshift kind of man. I mean, this guy was awesome. Yes, he had a lot of failures, but he could behave wisely in front of the people in the sight of the king. But yet before another king, he spits coming down his face because he just makes shift. Whatever the situation was, David could become that. Why is that important? Because Paul said, to the Greek, I'm a Greek. To the barbarian, I'm a barbarian. I'm smart and I'm stupid too. I'm young and I'm old too. I become all things to all men that I might win some. I've learned how to be a makeshift Christian. I can be whatever you need me to be to help you in your time of need. I may not be the permanent replacement. The Bible says if your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will lift you up. And sometimes we need to learn to lift people up. So I don't have nothing in common with them. You got the God, you got to serve the same God I serve? We got that in common. Whew. So Paul said, I'm going to be all things to all men. Because the project is this, winning people. The Bible says he that wins souls is what? Is wise. I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures in closing. 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. I don't know everything. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Now, I've heard that said from another denomination one time. I was teaching a Bible study, and the man was trying to set me up, and he said, is this perfect? I said, yeah, it's perfect. He said, well, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And he said, so tongues shall cease. You can read it all in there. He was after tongues. He said, tongues shall cease. So he said, there's no more speaking in tongues because that which is perfect has come. I said, brother, read the rest of that scripture. How about knowledge? Did knowledge cease because this has come? What about prophecy? You don't believe in prophecy anymore? Did that cease because this has come? I said, brother, what he's talking about is Christ. When he shall come, when that which is perfect shall come, we won't need prophecy, we won't need knowledge, we won't need tongues, we won't need any of those things. We won't need any props, we won't need any makeshift religion, we won't need any makeshift anything, because we'll have that which is perfect. Woo, and it will never fail. His love will never fail. Charity will never fail. We don't have to improvise anymore because that which is perfect has come. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I want you to notice the big I put away childish things. It ought not be the preacher's job to say, now, honey, this is carnal. This is carnal what you're dealing with. Now, honey, if you could just quit saying that. You got to put it away. I can't put your toys away. It's you that has to put your toys away. Because you know what? You'll put them in the closet, and when my back is turned, you'll go get them out again. That's what kids do. Put your toys up now. Just straighten up. And soon, I'm telling you, I woke up in the middle of the night. Sometimes I hear a noise. What is that noise? Get up and be David and Melly and open up the toy box. And there they were playing at 2 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed. But when you know, I got to tell this real quick. You see, David, he in here? There he is back there. Hi, how are you? See, when they were playing, him and Melanie would play. They would play with, they had, one of their favorite characters was Baloo. Anybody remember Baloo? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few Baloos here. And I don't remember what some of those other characters, but I'm glad they had glue guns back then because they would break their arms off and I improvised. And I'd put their arms back on so they could play some more. And so as they got older, David would have the plane, and Melanie was behind him, and they were. But as David was a little older than Melanie, like almost 3 years, but he got to where he started hiding how he played. So I could hear him when playing with Melanie, and as soon as I'd walk by the door, and then I'd pass the door, he was back at it again. He was going through that change in life, you see, where I'm still not there over here. I'm still part of this world and I'm still part of that world, but I'm not quite this and I'm not quite that either. And so, but eventually I didn't have to say, son, you're 15 now. It's time to quit. I'm afraid as pastor sometimes I have to get and they're 50 years old, still playing kids' games. Paul said, I did all these things. I'm not denying that. I was a child. The Bible says, let no man despise his youth. You probably messed up when you was young. Big deal. Who didn't? Learn from it. But there comes a time, he said, I put away all my toys. Daddy didn't have to tell me. Mama didn't have to tell me. And even God didn't have to tell me. I put them away because I wanted to be a man. I wanted to be a man. Now, he said, we see through this glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. In other words, when Christ comes, he's going to know, I'm going to know him like he knows me. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Why is charity the greatest of these? I can tell you why, because we live from faith to faith and from hope to faith. To hope. We go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. But the greatest of these is charity because it's never faileth. It's always constant. It's always there. There's no makeshift about it. There's no, well, if you just had enough faith, whoa, ye of little faith. But when you have the love of God in your heart, you'll find a way. You'll find a way to keep loving God, keep living for God. No matter, the church can go away, but I'm still going to live for God because I have the love of God. Do you have that this morning? The love of God. If you have the love of God, everything else will fail, but not the love of God. Hallelujah. Well, I love you this morning. I want you to take a quick break, and we're going to come back for morning worship.